Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Well, today I'm going to continue my look at happy hour. Pour me some spirit and leave the bottle. Pour me some spirit and leave the bottle. If you've not been here for this series, it's been one of my favorite series so far. Anybody like this series on the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Here's why. Because again, I think a lot of people have questions about the topics that we've been talking about. And I say this in every sermon that I've preached on this topic. I believe that people are asking the questions about alcohol. They're saying, hey, can I be a Christian and drink beer? You know, and so we've answered that question. You can listen to it online and see what we believe the Lord tells us about alcohol. And then we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. And again, the Holy Spirit is something that, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, that's just a ghouly ghost. And, you know, I mean, this is, you know, something weird or freaky. And you got to do crazy things if you have a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Or you got to stop wearing makeup or, you know, got to start wearing more makeup. But here's the truth. You don't have to be weird to know the Holy Spirit and to obviously you be used by the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to use you. And so, again, I love talking about these things because there are things that a lot of people may be confused on, and we have answers. Amen? Because of the Word of God that God has given us, we can find some answers. Well, we've been looking at the roles of the Holy Spirit, and again, I want to touch base on a few of those. First of all, we learned that the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, right? Reveals our need for a Savior. That's the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit does for us. Because at some point in your life, you have to realize that you're a sinner, and the Holy Spirit, He makes you realize that, and He shows you that your need for a Savior. And so He works in your life to do that, and through the Holy Spirit, you come to Christ. Right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of our lives the moment that we trust in Christ. It's not that the Holy Spirit, again, is just some weird cloud in the sky. No, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and indwells us when we give our lives to Christ. The third thing is He transforms us from the inside out. If you've given your life to Christ, then you ought to be transformed from the inside out. You ought to think differently. You ought to act differently. You ought to live differently because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Here's one of the greatest things that I love about our church. We believe that it is okay to look like you look on Monday, like you look on Sunday. Again, a lot of people come to church and they look different on Sunday because they feel like, man, I gotta, you know, look different. Well, here's the cool thing about our church. You can look like the world. In other words, you can dress like you'd want to dress on Monday and all that stuff. And again, I'm saying in obviously a godly way. I mean, some girls are like, oh, so I can look like the world, so I can wear whatever I want. No, listen, if you can wash all your clothes in a blender, you don't have enough on. I mean, so here's what we say. Modest is hottest. But here's the thing. We believe that you can go ahead and look like the world. Again, we don't care whether you wear a suit or whether you don't. We don't care about any of that stuff. But here's what God cares about and what we care about. Your life ought to look radically different. Not just on the outside where, you know, I wear my suit and I do what, you know, everybody else expects me to look like. No, listen, your life ought to be lived totally different. That's the cool thing. I mean, when I ride with cowboys and I get to experience being around different cowboys, they look at me and they think, he's just like me. But then as they examine my life, I pray that they see something radically different. Does that make sense? And so again, you get transformed from the inside out. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit does is He is our helper. The fifth thing is He's our teacher. The sixth thing is He is our friend. And again, if you're friends with the Holy Spirit, then you ought to produce good fruit, not bad fruit. And again, are we to be perfect? No. Can we be perfect? No. But we are to strive to sin less. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The thing that we talked about last week was the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us from the inside. Again, it's not through our ears that He speaks to us. It's through our heart and our soul. And He speaks to us. And when He speaks to us, listen, here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. We can trust what He says. We don't have to worry about getting bad advice or the Holy Spirit going, oops. You know, oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Oh, I didn't mean that. No, the Holy Spirit is trustworthy. Well, today we're going to look at the next role of the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be one of the, it's going to be wild, because here's the thing. Here's the next point. Here's the next role that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. The Holy Spirit, if you've given your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives in you, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And let me illustrate how that works. This, see this saddle right here? This saddle was a gift to me and my wife from a friend of mine. My friend Mickey Bentley. Anybody know Mickey Bentley from Laverne, Oklahoma? Good. You don't want to know him. I'm just playing. He's one of my best friends. He and I, we've shot things together. We've been chewed out for shooting things together in the wrong, you know, pasture. We've chased things that we probably shouldn't have chased. We've just done stupid things. And he is one of my best friends because he likes to have fun. I mean, again, we are men and we like to be challenged. And so when I challenge him to do something, he typically tends to do it and we all get in trouble because of it. And I do the same thing. So again, that's why I love him, because, you know, he's an old man, but he's a young at heart. And so anyways, well, my wife and I got married 10 years ago, and it'll be in October, 11 years. And here's the thing. When we got married, this was a gift that Mickey Bentley gave to me, right? One of my best friends saw that I needed a saddle. My wife and I just, you know, again, we had just gotten married that day, and we had a couple of horses, but we hadn't had a saddle, and we didn't have a saddle. Her grandpa gave us these horses, and so we didn't have a saddle at that time, and so we were in need of a saddle. Well, he brings this saddle and he gives it to me on our wedding day. It was one of the greatest gifts that I've been given. It's not a, you know, fancy saddle. I've started, you know, obviously I start colts and I started a bunch of colts in this, and I've used it. We've moved on. We bought other saddles, but this saddle has been retired and put in my office because it's a special saddle to me, because it was given to me by a friend the day that I got married. Now here's the point. The day that we marry and join together in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that day, Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And here's the point. Out of that relationship with the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to glorify God with and for the good of others. And so you say, well, what's the role of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's role is to give us gifts. And you say, what are those gifts? Now, again, some of you guys are like, okay, Bo, this is where everything gets freaky, because I've been to some churches where all these gifts and they start doing all this stuff and it's all chaotic and all that stuff. And again, you need to realize this. The Holy Spirit is not what makes people weird. Listen, weird people are just weird. And even though they know Christ, they would be weird if they didn't know Christ. Right? I mean, again, let's just be honest. I mean, I've experienced some weird people. If you're lying, if you haven't, I have. And again, you think, well, all this Holy Spirit stuff gets weird when you start talking about gifts. Now, remember, again, take a deep breath. My desire is not to become the weird church that everybody goes, woo, weird people. Or, you know, they see some freaky things, even though, you know, again, we like to have a little fun. But here's my desire for sharing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's why. Because I believe that our church should be smart and informed so that we're not confused about what God says about Holy Spirit and his gifts. Do you get it? I mean, so some of you guys are like, man, why are we talking about this? I mean, this is all controversial and, you know, I mean, confusing and all that stuff. Listen, we're trying to eliminate the confusion so that when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, what do you understand about gifts? Because I saw this weird guy do this. What do you think about that? You can go, here, let me explain that. I don't know about you, but that's one of the coolest things about being a Christian and learning. And so today I've got my dry erase board. Welcome to Mr. Haig's class. I'm going to write my name. You can write your name on top of the paper when you leave today. Mr. Haig. I want to be known as Mr. Haig, okay? Now, again, you say, well, why the chalkboard? Well, I may write some things down that will hopefully maybe be able to explain what I'm going to talk today about. Now, again, when we look at scriptures today, when we look at them, some of these scriptures have been interpreted in different ways, and that's okay. Again, we're not going to battle people. We're not going to beat people up. We're not going to judge people for what they believe about a certain scripture or not. But here's the thing. Some of the things that I'm going to share today are based on my own experience, And probably based on my own interpretation, based on the Word of God, okay? And I want to clear that up as well. Some of you may believe different than I do. But as a church that is led by, you know, pastor that God called and is led by our leadership and all that stuff, we have to take a certain, I guess, stand on what we believe, or we're just going to fall to anything. Okay? And so again, we're not here to judge anybody, but we're here to share what we believe and where we believe God has led us. And let me just say this. I grew up in a conservative type church that didn't practice the gifts that we're going to talk about today. But here's the thing. I have great people and friends in my life that have grown up in churches that practice certain gifts that could be controversial. And guess what? I called them. And I said, what do you believe about this gift? I've read books that have been written by people that practice certain gifts that can be confusing or controversial. And so you maybe think, well, you're just a conservative little guy who grew up in a Baptist church and you believe this way because your, you know, heritage, you know, or your denomination back in the day believe that. No, listen. I'm open to listening to what the Holy Spirit leads in my life and the Word of God says to me, not a denomination and not another individual. Does that make sense? And so don't be looking at me and go, well, you just believe that because they tell you to believe that. No, listen, I have sought on both sides and I have great friends on both sides of this fence, so to speak. But let's get this straight before I talk about this. I want to get this straight. These gifts that we're going to touch on today, they are meant to unify the church, not divide it. So I want you to get that. And these gifts, for me, are non-essential for salvation. And so in other words, you say, well, Bo, do I have to practice that gift to be saved? Absolutely not. And I need you to hear that as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you guys look on the screen with me. We're going to read this chapter and we are going to take it in today. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Verse 10. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts. Listen to this. But the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And again, when it's talking about the body of Christ, it's not talking about his literal body. It's talking about the body as a church. Understand that. Verse 13, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. Listen to this. This is kind of funny, I think. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand. Yeah, I could hear some people saying that. But I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand or a hand. That doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies are made up of many parts, or have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest or least important are actually the most necessary. Verse 23, and the parts we regard less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that that extra honor can care and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. I'm tired. Anybody tired from reading this? But this is good. So listen, verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who help others, those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you the way of life that is best of all. Now again, you go, wow, that's a lot of scriptures. That's the most scriptures you've read in the last 10 months. Well, you're right, but I can't take one scripture out of that and it all makes sense. So I've got to read it all. Now you say, okay, but what's all this mean? Well, today I want to look at two questions, okay? There are five altogether, and I want to look at two and I'm done. All right, you ready for this? And you say, what are the questions? Well, number one is this. What is a spiritual gift? I mean, what is it? I mean, if you're saying we all have a spiritual gift, what is a spiritual gift? Well, here's the truth. The term spiritual gifts gets its meaning from another word, and this is the other word. I'll write it down for you. It's charismata. Charismata. Anybody ever heard this word before? Let me see if I can spell. Charismata. Is that how you spell it? Sounds good to me too. Charismata, listen, charismata is the Greek word where we get our English word charismatic. Anybody ever heard of the word charismatic? Yeah, we get that word charismatic from the Greek word, which is charismata. And let me just say this, I want to ask a question. How many of you guys grew up in a Pentecostal or a charismatic church? Anybody? It's okay, raise your hand, raise your hands. Come on now. All right, we got a few people that have grew up in a charismatic or a Pentecostal church. How many of you guys grew up in a more maybe conservative or fundamental Bible church kind of deal? Yeah, a few more people. How many of you guys didn't grow up in church at all? Yes, praise the Lord. Let's give those people a hand. You know why I say give the people that are unchurched a hand? Is because most churches don't have unchurched people in their church. And so I praise God, and I tip my hat to those of you that have said, hey, I want to learn about Christ, and you're here today. But here's the thing. Some of you guys have been in Pentecostal churches. Some of you guys have been in charismatic churches. And I want to explain a little bit about those terms, because those terms are kind of confusing to a lot of people. And when you say, hey, are you? I grew up in a charismatic church. How many of you guys think a certain thing? You think one thing or a certain thing about a charismatic church? Raise your hand. It's okay. Now, here's the thing. Many of you guys think of the extreme things that maybe you've seen in a charismatic church, not just all of the charismatic churches. So let's get this straight. I mean, a lot of people want to go, well, if you're charismatic, then you've got to believe this, this, and this. No, listen, I know a lot of charismatic people that go to charismatic churches, that go to Pentecostal churches, and they don't believe half the things that we think or that anybody else thinks that they believe. I know a lot of people that go to a charismatic church and they think that we, as maybe more conservative people, believe this, this, and this, and we don't believe that, that, and that. So again, a lot of people want to put people in this stamp of, oh, you're a charismatic, well, God bless you. Oh, you know, you're in a, you know, a Bible church, or, you know, a Methodist church or a Baptist church, well, God bless you. You're just, you know, wonderful. Again, you can't categorize everybody. But listen, I believe that the extremes that we see in a lot of churches or some churches keep us away from a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I'm sick of it. I believe that the devil has put the wool over our eyes and said, if you're in friendship with the Holy Spirit, then you've got to be weird. Again, I'm sick of that. I believe that's a lie from the devil. Can I get an amen on that? Because here's the thing, again, the Holy Spirit wants a friendship, and we should never fear the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do in and through our lives because of some weird person that is misusing or abusing the so-called gifts that they have. And so again, you want to judge people? We're not going to judge people. But here's the thing. I don't want us to be naive, and I don't want us to be cowards when it comes to talking about charismatic or Pentecostal or, you know, this or that. And so, again, how would you define the word Pentecostal? Let me write that word. Some of you guys are like, what's that word, Pentecostal? I don't even know how to spell it. Let me see if I can spell it. Is that right? Pentecostal. Now you say, well, what's that word mean? Well, here's the thing. If your church that you grew up in, maybe, and this is generally speaking, again, not all churches believe this, but if your church grew up a Pentecostal church, then typically and generally speaking, the Pentecostal church seeks the same gifts that the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles at Pentecost. And you say, well, what is Pentecost? Well, that was when the Holy Spirit came upon the Christians, the first Christians of the first Christian church in the Bible. That's where the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they had certain things happen and certain gifts. And so, again, Pentecostal typically is a title of those people that seek the same gifts that they received at Pentecost. These churches generally tend to highlight the sign gifts. Now I want to write that down. The sign gifts. Because some of you guys are like, what's a sign gift? And again, it's just a word, sign, gift, okay? A sign gift. And you say, okay, what was the sign gifts? Well, speaking in tongues, I want to highlight that. Healing, this is the healing part. And miracles, and maybe prophecy. And you say, you know, what is all that? Prophecy. I can't write and talk at the same time. Sorry. So that's the cliff note right there. But here's the thing. Typically, a Pentecostal or a charismatic church or whatever, they typically believe in the sign gifts. And again, they desire to practice those, and they highlight those. And they believe that these gifts are available today for the use of the church. Now, again, the word charismatic, you think, well, what does that mean? Well, here's the thing about the word charismatic. It can mean different things. The word charismata or charismatic in our English language can mean different things or have different connotations. And again, I've sought advice from people that would say, I'm charismatic. Not just, you know, again, my mama. I didn't just ask my mama. But here's the thing. In this idea of charismatic, you have different connotations, okay? The first one is, in everyday culture, if someone has charisma, what are they? They're exciting, right? I mean, maybe they're a politician. Maybe they're a, you know, a Hollywood star. Maybe they're an actor or whatever, and they have this charisma about them. And again, if this person's charismatic, then they, you know, maybe, you know, entitled that, or, you know, maybe have that title on their life. The other idea or connotation is in the church. And listen, in the church world, this word charismatic can mean a lot of different things. And I'll give you a few things that I feel like the word charismatic means. For some, charismatic can just be a church that sings with loud music, lifts their hands, and dances around. I mean, again, that's some idea of charismatic. The second thing is, other churches being charismatic, they put a big thing on freedom in Christ and practicing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they do it in a way that may be chaotic, maybe self-promoting, or maybe disorderly, right? I mean, again, I've seen it. The third thing or connotation that you get from the word charismatic is there are some radical churches, and I use that word radical because here's the thing. They've hijacked this word charismatic, and they've made it into this idea, and they've taught that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. And again, that's radical. That's extreme. The fourth thing is this. Then there are churches that believe that the freedom given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit should be exciting, should be alive, and that all the spiritual gifts in the Bible are available to us today and done in an orderly way can bring glory to God and growth in the church. And so again, you say, well, is there more than one meaning to the word charismatic? I believe there is. And you say, okay, Bo, and here's the million-dollar question. Is our church considered a charismatic church? Well, I'm going to answer that today. I had to take a drink before I say it. Because here's the thing. A lot of controversy may come, but here's the truth. I don't give a flip. I'm going to tell you what I believe and what our leadership believes about being charismatic. And again, I believe that the word charismatic, you have to define it before you say you can be a part of it, right? And so here's the thing. If you're asking if our church believes that church should be exciting and alive, I believe the answer would be yes. Amen? If you are asking if we believe that one has to speak in tongues to be saved, I would believe our answer is no. If you are, the claps are getting fewer. If you are asking, listen, if you are asking that, if we believe that all the spiritual gifts are available today, I would say that our answer, and again, I've sought the leadership in our church. They've read my message today, and we believe that all of the spiritual gifts that were given to the New Testament believers are available today. Now, again, you say, what do you base that on? Because, again, we don't want to make statements and then we don't base it on anything. Again, a lot of people believe that the spiritual gifts in the New Testament have ceased. And they base it on this scripture. And I want to give this to you. And I know this is deep today, but we're going to get deep every now and then. Just because. 1 Corinthians 13, put it up on the screen. You say, why do you believe that these gifts are still available? Look at this. 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And you say, okay, but what's all that mean? Well, at the beginning of it, you see that, again, there is a time where prophecies will cease, tongues will cease, knowledge, again, all those things will pass away. But here's the point that I want to make. Look at verse 10. But when the perfect comes, you see that? A lot of people go, hey, Bo, what that means is when you receive the Bible, because we've received the Bible, that means that the perfect has come because the Bible is perfect. And I would say that's not true. Here's why. Because just because we have the Bible doesn't mean that we can see clearly. You get it? Look at the other verses that point this out. In verse 9, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. We are still in that realm. We still don't know everything. And so here's what we believe that the perfect person and perfect means when it says the perfect will come. It's Jesus. And you say, okay, but what's all this mean? Well, here's the truth. When Jesus comes, I will not see in a mirror dimly anymore. I will not just know in part. I will know fully, because he will make known to me fully what we don't understand now. And so again, when the perfect comes, those things will be useless. Speaking in tongues, the signs, gifts, the whole, I mean, all that stuff's going to be useless, because Jesus is going to be that perfect person when he comes, and he's going to reveal it to us. And so again, that's the way that we believe that it is interpreted. And so again, here's the last question about charismatic. And you think, well, are we charismatic? If you are asking if we believe that one could practice the gifts of the Spirit in this church in an orderly way, the answer is yes. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:39-40 says this, "So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order." And so let me answer it this way, because some people are like, so you're saying we can speak in tongues in our church, and we can do healing and all that other stuff in our church. Let me just say it this way. I have a disclaimer. And again, this is where you may disagree with me. But here's the thing. When it comes to practicing the sign gifts, the gifts of speaking in tongues and all these other gifts, we believe that these gifts may not be appropriate in a corporate setting. And you say, why? I mean, the Bible says don't forbid them. Listen, I am not forbidding anybody from doing anything that they believe that God has gifted them to do. We're not. We're not going to tell you you can't speak in tongues in your own, private. We're not telling you you can't speak in tongues, in certain, settings that are suitable for that. But here's the truth. I will not sacrifice many for the sake of one. Now listen, before you clap, listen. There are more people that get confused and again, this may be a reflection of our church, because we have unchurched people. We have people that don't know the Bible, because we have people that are less mature in their walk. They may not understand what you understand. And so just because you say, I got this gift and I'm going to practice it in your church, listen, a lot of times, not all the time, but majority of the time, it confuses people and they walk away going, I don't want any part of that. So listen. We're not forbidding it, but we're saying, as far as we believe in our church corporately isn't going to practice those gifts, because we don't want to sacrifice those that don't know Christ for those that do and just want to practice their gift. Does that make sense? And I say that in love, and I say that, as best as I can. Yeah. Our being unified is more important than the practicing of a non-essential gift for salvation. Unity is more important. And so, again, you say, well, okay, well, what's this word mean? This word actually means grace gift. And you say, okay, but what's all these spiritual gifts? Well, again, the spiritual gift is a gift that has been given to us by the grace of God. And we need to use it for his glory. And you say, okay, what are those spiritual gifts? Well, we're going to get to that later. But here's what I want to say about them real quick, and I'm done. The spiritual gifts are special abilities, their offices, in other words, their offices, leadership and all that, and there are ways of serving the church that are given to us by the grace of God. And here's the last question, and I'm done. You say, Bo, where do these spiritual gifts come from? Well, they come from the Holy Spirit. And again, I want them. You know why I want them? Because I want whatever the Holy Spirit wants to give me. The Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12, listen to it again. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but there is the same Spirit is the source of all of them. Verse 11, it is the one and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so again, the Holy Spirit empowers us to have a gift. And so here's what I see a lot of people do a lot of times. They go, dadgummit, why can't I have their gift? Dadgummit, that person is so gifted. Why can't I have their gift? And here's the truth. We have no reason, because the Holy Spirit chooses to give us certain gifts, we have no reason to complain or wish that we had another gift. And again, you can't, you know, you can't say, well, I want this gift so bad. I want this gift so bad. And you can't conjure it up enough to receive that gift. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can give you the gift. Does that make sense as well? Again, all the parts. I mean, not everybody's going to prophesy. Not everybody's going to, you know, be a teacher. Not everybody's going to be an apostle. So again, the point is, we can't choose our gift. The Holy Spirit chooses our gift for us. And so here's the thing. In the next few weeks, we're going to answer these questions, or actually probably just next week, we're going to answer these questions. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How do I discover my spiritual gift? And what are the spiritual gifts for? What are they for? All right? So class is done today. And I know I'm sweating. You're probably sweating too. So I want to lead us in a word of prayer. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Now again, some of you guys are coming for the first time today, and I want to say welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. Well, we don't cower to the culture. We don't cower to what some people are saying is controversial. We face it head on because we believe that there are answers in the Word of God. If we will seek them, and we will find them. And so welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. My prayer has been for the last few weeks, and I've sought advice and wisdom from all kinds of people on this subject that we're talking about, of the Holy Spirit and gifts and all that. And my desire for you today is to gain knowledge so that you can study on your own where God leads you to land on the interpretation of some of these scriptures. Now, again, our interpretation may not be your interpretation. That's okay. It is okay. We love everybody. We accept everybody for who they are. And we stand for what God has called us to stand for, unapologetically, but in love. And so listen, we're not saying, you know, someone can't be a part of our church if they believe this or that. No, listen, it's not about that. Again, there are more important things than the spiritual gifts. And one of those things is, the most important thing is salvation. And so some of you are here today and you're like, hey, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? How do I receive this spiritual gift? How do I know what my spiritual gift is? Listen, you have to know Jesus Christ to experience the power that you can find in the Holy Spirit. And so maybe that's you today. You're like, man, I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't understand all this. Listen, if you want to know Christ today, you can know Him personally and you can grow in that relationship. You say, how do I do that? Well, again, the Bible teaches us that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You say, what's that mean? That means that He will come into your life. He will forgive you of your sin and He will live in you. And so you may be here today and you're thinking, well, I need that. Well, listen, you can have that. It's a free gift. The gift of salvation is free. Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross so that you can have a personal relationship with Him. And so maybe you're here today and you need to make that decision. You can do that right in your chair. You can say, well, how do I do that, Bo? Listen, you confess in your heart, maybe in your own seat right there. You just say, Lord, in your heart, you say, I confess You as my Lord and Savior. I want You to come into my life. I want You to save me from my sin. I want to have eternal life with You someday. And I want to live for You while I'm on this earth. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it with your heart, not just with your mind, you meant it with your heart, then you are saved. You've given your life. You've turned that corner and you're a new person in Christ Jesus. You say, okay, but what do I do next? Well, we have the answer for that as well. And that is this: you let somebody know so that we can walk alongside of you and help you walk in this new relationship with Christ. And we want to do that. All we ask you to do, fill out that orange card, place it in a yellow bucket, or text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you about your decision. And we will show you how to live for Christ. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. And we're going to be dismissed today. And I hope that you'll meet with us tonight as we baptize these new believers. Lord, we just come to you right now, and I thank you for the opportunity to share truth with people. I thank you that we can do it, no matter how we do it, in love. And I pray that as we walk out of here today, that we would desire to know the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can be used for your glory. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.